Thank you, Carla. So we have two more awards to present. And the first is the INSAR Advocate Award for 2015. And I'm absolutely delighted to announce that this is being awarded to Mary Barua for her unwavering commitment to supporting individuals with autism and their families, first in India and now around the world. I'll say a few words about Mary before she comes and accepts her award and then speaks to us a little bit about her work. Mary is really an exceptional advocate and activist. After a career in journalism and following the birth of her son Niraj in 1981 and his subsequent diagnosis with autism, she found that there was nothing in India, no understanding and no provision, nothing to do for him. And so, single-handedly, she created understanding and she created provision in India. In her own characteristically humble words, something had to be done, so I did it. She set about raising awareness, and I gather that in the 80s this included posting information about autism into the video cassettes of Rain Man that she found in video libraries. She also started the first autism school, Open Door, for her son and for other children. She founded Action for Autism in 1994. She developed the first teacher training program in India. She started mother-child interaction interventions. And she continues to be an advocate for policy reform, not only in India, but throughout the world. So I think that Mary is really one of those angels for autism that we should rightly celebrate, and particularly with INSAR's global mission and with recognition of how a single person can change awareness and provision and the lives of people with autism in a whole country. I'm absolutely delighted to give this award to Mary and ask her to come to the stage.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you to the board members of INSAR for this very amazing award. I feel truly honored and privileged, and a little bit nervous as well. The award is made particularly special for me by the fact that Temple Grandin is an earlier awardee. Temple is someone who has had such an impact on how I today understand my son and others like him. I have had an amazing morning. First, there was Dr. Richard Grinker's keynote address, and then the invigorating panel discussion on autism and society, which I attended. The speakers all used what we privately call the AFA language, Action for Autism language. As Dr. Baron Cohen mentioned, the language we use is critical, especially in advocacy. Each country has its own challenges. Sometimes you have the services, but not rights. Sometimes you have rights on paper, but no services that actualize those rights. When we started nearly 25 years ago, there were neither the services nor the rights, so the two had to go hand in hand. It has, of course, been a challenging journey because for those of us on the outside looking in, autism seems overwhelming in its diversity and complexity. It is also a condition that upsets people, surprises and upsets, because autism challenges all our deeply held notions of ways of being. It challenges our perceptions of normality, of functionality, of intelligence. It challenges our understanding of disability itself, because autism has no visible markers, no use of wheelchairs or canes or spectacles. As a result, it is harder explaining to policymakers, to the community, and to the families themselves why, along with teaching our children functional skills, we also need to make changes in the environment. It makes people resistant to acknowledging their needs. Studies tell us that persons with autism have difficulty in expressing their empathy with others. But the neurotypical world, those of us without autism, we show little empathy to the needs of people with autism. And that makes advocacy even more complex. Unlike Professor Grinka, I have a PowerPoint, but it has just one slide. Different and proud of it, the slogan that we at Action for Autism adopted in 1996. Our work has been based on the premise that autism is a valid way of being, that society has to change to adapt to autistic individuals as much as they have to learn skills to negotiate the social world. Over the years, while we have worked with the community, the government, a whole range of professionals, policymakers, etc., a big focus of our work, our efforts and advocacy, has been with parents. Unlike the US and other developed nations, India has a large population and fewer resources. So it was important to partner with parents so that each could become a voice and create other voices for advocacy. And for that to succeed, professional knowledge had to be demystified. More importantly, autism had to be destigmatized. As long as autism is seen as a terrible, tragic, awful burden on the family and on society, rights would always be compromised. Internationally, at most discussions on disability, we keep hearing about the burden of disability. Yet expenditure on higher education for neurotypicals is not a burden. Expenditure on creating recreational facilities for the community is not a burden. Yet the message that society repeatedly gives is that people with disabilities and people with autism are burdens. We enable families to see that if I want my child to be accepted in the community, I have to lead by example. If I judge my child as a burden, as bad, the community will not see him any differently. While we have impacted policy, catalyzed education and inclusion, and so on, the most satisfying has been the changes in parents, especially mothers, who are often the most disempowered. We teach mothers to listen to their children. The child who speaks and the child who does not speak, especially the child who does not. When I listen, it means that I have learned to respect. When I respect, then I'm not focused on merely managing and fixing my child. Instead, I'm trying to understand another point of view. It helps parents to free their child of the burden of their own expectations and instead give them a positive self-image. It teaches happiness. How can my child be happy if I am unhappy about who he or she is? When mothers get that, when parents get that, that can be enormously empowering. My 35-year-old son, who's on the most severe end of the spectrum, if our paths cross during the day at a workplace, he goes, "Hello, Mama." He sees me every day, 24/7, but he's the happiest when he sees me because he knows I not just love him, I respect him for who he is. Advocacy is a work in progress. We have only taken the first few steps. We held an international conference in February this year when we had self-advocates from five different countries, but none from India. Not because there are none, but because the stigma is still such that they are wary of identifying themselves publicly of being on the spectrum. We are working towards one day to reaching the place where autistic people in India speak their lived experiences like John Robison did this morning, and Stephen Shore, and others like them. Thank you, Ansar, from my entire team at Action for Autism, and Dr. Nidhi Singhal, who's here with me today, for this very great honor, and for the acknowledgement of the steps that we have taken. Thank you.